Grief is around us. Anyone listening to this very radio station right this second has lost someone they've loved. And the holidays certainly brings that to the forefront. So on the line with us today is Paula Kozin. Hi, Paula. How are you?
Hi, Wendy. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. Now, Paula, you are you're a licensed clinical counselor. You're a grief educator. And what else do you do?
Well, historically, in my career has been in human resources and as a career coach and a career counselor. So certainly over my career, I've worked with a lot of people who are grieving because they have lost their jobs. But probably 10 years ago, I moved into working with facilitating grief support groups at my church, and that led actually to an invitation to write a book on grieving, came out this year.
Grieving, a spiritual process for Catholics. However, you don't need to be a Catholic to read this book.
Right. It's interesting because I asked, some of the listeners may certainly know, Patrick T. Reardon, who used to be with the Tribune for his entire career, also wrote many of their book reviews over time. And I asked Patrick to do a review on this book because I knew he would be objective. And he was the one that said what I was thinking, which is there's value in this book for people, not only just Catholics or Christians, but people of any faith background or no faith background, because there's a really there's good information on what healthy grieving is. And just practical advice and examples from a lot of the people in my grief groups, although I changed the names to maintain their confidentiality. But it's a real practical book, and it's information about how we could go about grieving in a much better way than we are usually raised with. Because I know when I was a kid, I didn't see anybody past being at an uncle or an aunt's funeral. That's when I might have seen people cry, but then we didn't even talk about it afterwards. So I think we're moving toward being more healthy, and I'm part of that being an advocate for good grief education.
Good grief, Charlie Brown. So here's what I want to tell you. You don't get used to death, but what the proper word is, but let me explain. My dad died when I was 10. I didn't really know what dying was, so I was playing like hide and seek with my cousins at the funeral home, you know?
Yeah.
And then I had three friends of mine died in a plane crash when I was a sophomore in high school. I've had lots of aunts, great aunts die in Cicero, and I loved the lady in charge of Vance Funeral Home, and I wanted to go into that because I thought she was amazing. I lost my mom a month after my wedding. I just lost a cousin of mine who meant the world to me. So it's not like I'm used to it, but I've been around it, so I think I handle it better than other people. Does that make sense?
Well, it could be, although every person who you lose by death, you have a different experience because you are a different person and it's at a different part in your life. And so everyone grieves differently. There's no timetable for grief, you know, or an expiration date where you look at your watch and you go, okay, shouldn't you be over this yet? That doesn't exist. And so that's part of understanding about grief. And in your case, you had a number of losses of people near and dear to you. And so what I would ask you is, what have you found works for you to be able to manage that grief and just missing that person?
The biggest thing that I would recommend to people is to talk about them and talk about your feelings. Last year, it was the year anniversary, I had a close friend who went through hospice. He had cancer. I had never, and my cousin 2 years ago went through hospice. Prior to that, I had never dealt with anyone going through hospice. I didn't know if I would be able to handle it, but it's kind of interesting because you can talk to them. You can be with them. They know that you're there to hang on to them till their last breath. other deaths that happen suddenly, you have regrets. Maybe you were fighting with someone when they passed away. Hospice is very unique, Paula.
You don't have to tell me that. I'm trained as a hospice vigil volunteer. So, and part of that is in 2005, my mother passed away. 2009, my older brother passed away, and he was only 59 at the time. And in 2011, my father passed away, and that really set me very strongly on a path to learn more about grieving and get trained for hospice and volunteer and start the grief support groups. And so that was very pivotal. And my dad came home and came off of dialysis. So we knew he had like a week and a half typically, and that it would be a peaceful death where he would eventually fall asleep and then pass. So it was not going to be painful. And that was probably the best week of our lives. And his line to us that week, Wendy, God bless him, his line to us was, "My bags are packed and I've got a date with your mother."
Oh, that, I got goosebumps from that one. That's beautiful.
And that's in the dedication of my book, along with my deepest wish, which is, "May this book find its way to those who need it most."
We all need it. It's called Grieving, A Spiritual Process for Catholics. You do not need to be a Catholic to read it. What is where's the best place to purchase this book?
I think there's two primarily. The publisher is here in Chicago, actually, and it's Liturgy Training Publications. And so they publish a lot of materials for Catholic parishes,
mm-hmm.
Baptism prep and marriage preparation and things like that. So you can order it from their website, ltp.org, or you can order it through Amazon as well.
All right. Her name is Paula Kozin, a licensed clinical professional counselor, a certified grief educator, a hospice vigil volunteer. You are really a helpful woman to a lot of people. And, you know, like, I know somebody's listening right now going, "God, Wendy, what a bummer before the holidays." It is a bummer. And we should be able to talk about this, right?
Well, one of the best compliments I got was, "Paula, you normalize grief." And we all run into it, but we are famous in our American society of stuffing it or hiding it and not showing it. And what is healthy, as you said, is you talk about it when you go into your holiday. So if you are grieving now, know that you have permission to say no to some of the social events that you're invited to if you don't feel up to it. You know that you can also say, you know, "I'll stop by for a visit, but I can't stay the whole time." And if somebody invites you, you might say, "No, I'm not ready for that," or "No, not at this time, maybe later." So that lets people know and gives grievers basically a sense of control. But also when you're with people, you know, at the holiday table or whatever, tell stories and include the stories where you laugh about something that the person did that was funny or quirky or whatever. It is not disrespectful. It is human. And so sometimes people feel guilty, like they catch themselves and they go, "Oh, I shouldn't be laughing. I should be sad." No. You're honoring that person by keeping them alive, sort of, in everybody's memory. And so use their name. Let people that you know when you talk to them that it's okay to use their name. You love to hear stories, because sometimes you hear stories after the person died that you had no idea about.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to do, is to make that person, to keep them very much present, because even though they have physically died, their body is dead, you still keep their spirit. Some people might call it a soul, but their spirit or their presence is still around us in many ways, and I'm not in a woo-woo or an occult kind of way,
right.
But just, you know, that there's a presence. You know, I run down the, you know, I go down the hall, the aisle at Jewel, and I see Heinz ketchup, and my dad was a big Heinz ketchup fan. He used to say at a restaurant, If you can see Heinz ketchup on the table, you know it's a good restaurant. Okay, that was my dad. And so when I would pass by there initially after he died, I'd get teary, you know, because like, oh, Dad. But now I pass it by and I just chuckle and I go, hi, Dad, because it's sort of a reminder. And so some people have, you know, if a cardinal shows up outside the window or a butterfly, and so whatever it is, it just, your grief never goes away. You are always going to grieve and miss that person. But the cool thing is that there's a transformation that takes place so that you learn to carry the grief. You learn to integrate it. And you also learn to kind of rewrite the script of your life without that person physically there and think of ways to honor them.
That is a that's a great way of doing it. Is honor them. And I just want to ask you, there are people, we just got a text, this will be my first Christmas without my dad. He died suddenly in January. I know some people, this is going to be the first holiday season without your loved one. Do you have some advice for them?
Oh, gosh, yes. And my heart goes out because it is so difficult. I think that, you know, taking care of yourself and allowing yourself to grieve in appropriate ways. So, you know, with people in my grief groups, I've had people say, you know, my husband loved Christmas and he used to decorate outside the house and inside the house. She goes, I don't have the energy. I mean, grieving takes energy. It's exhausting. And so this time you might just kind of almost call off Christmas or just pick and choose the things you might want to do and look for ways, as I said, to honor them. Sometimes it's a visit to a cemetery. Sometimes I've seen a family who volunteers on a day in December or January at a food pantry to help out because that was important to the person who died. Certainly, people may set an extra plate at the table to honor that person. They may have a picture on a table in the living room or the mantle or the fireplace with a candle next to it that just reminds everybody that this person was a part of our family and is no longer physically here. And that's why I also like to talk about when you are with people who can honor your more sad approach to the holiday and not say, oh, come on, you know, cheer up or whatever. You want to be able to share stories and bring that person to mind and just take it easy on yourself through the holidays. You will get through it. And someone has said, Christmas is only 24 hours.
That's true.
So if you can, you know, and plan something, you know, think ahead and plan for that day. Sometimes people will, you know, plan to watch a favorite movie of the person who's gone or play music that the person liked or look through and read through some of the notes and cards they got after the funeral because those are often very uplifting. And so plan ahead, plan to be with somebody. If not your whole family, then plan to be with somebody who you know and trust and respect and who will respect your grief and just be with you.
I mean,
people sometimes, you know, we all feel we're fixers, okay? And we want to make somebody, we want to cheer them up. That is the worst thing you can do for somebody who's grieving. The best thing you could do is just be a presence and you can just come over and say, you don't even have to talk unless you want to.
But I'm here for you.
I'm going to be here for you.
Yeah.
And that is so hard, but that is the ultimate gift, is just to be there.
I got to get this book. It's called Grieving, A Spiritual Process for Catholics. You can get it on Amazon. Paula Kozin is the author, licensed clinical professional counselor, certified grief educator, and a hospice vigil volunteer. Paula, what's the other website where people can get it aside from Amazon?
Yeah, the other one, and I'd love to have organizations or churches or whatever, like, you know, big orders and frequent orders, of course, because I really want people to be better educated about grief and better reassured about what they're going through. And that would be the publisher, Liturgy Training Publications, and their website is ltp.org.
Okay.
And there, yeah, go ahead.
847 says, when did showing grief or being nice to each other publicly become a sign of weakness? Amen to that. We need to be nice to one another, and we need to grieve in our own way and in our own time.
And, you know, I'll share something real quick about our church has a ministry to a church on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, and those are Lakota, the Lakota tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find interesting is, you know, in our culture, you start to tear up when you talk about a loved one or something, and you get all flustered and embarrassed, and people get uncomfortable about it. Well, they have a 180-degree different, viewpoint on tears. And what it is that the word in the Lakota language, it's pronounced Chia, and it's spelled C-E-Y-A, is the word to cry, but it's from the root word to pray. And so they see tears as sacred water being pushed up in prayer.
Oh.
And so what I love to say is when you are in grief and there are times when you throw yourself across your bed and you sob out loud, almost uncontrollably, those sounds and those tears are really a way of praying, even if you're not religious, but it's a way, it's a healthy way to look at crying instead of being embarrassed about it.
Well, we're out of time. Paula, such a pleasure to talk to you. I do want to mention something I've said to my kids when we've lost people. That hole in your heart will eventually fill up with really great, funny memories. And that's what you and I spoke about earlier. Bring out the funny, you know, talk about these wonderful stories and try to have a laugh over the holiday season.
Right. And I'll mention, I'm actually doing a presentation in January on Wednesday the 17th out at Resurrection Parish, which is in Wayne, Illinois. And that's like in between St. Charles and Elgin.
Mm-hmm.
It's at 7:00 and it's on insights about love, loss, and the healing process. And if people go to the Resurrection Parish website, they will see information on how to, we'd like people to register. It's free. But just register so we know how many to plan for. But if somebody wants to catch up with me, and I'll have books there for sale.
Okay.
You know,
sounds great. You're helping so many. Paula, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Wendy. I love when you're on.